May we pray together. Our Lord and our God, Thou hast called each of us into the ministry of reconciliation. We ask this morning that Thou wouldst make us reconciled to Thee, to one another, to the world and the culture about us. Give us new insight and ever-growing maturity in regard to our own calling, in regard to the opportunities that come. May we not be cowards and run from the problems in the midst of these opportunities. Give us new insight into Thy living word for us and for those to whom we minister together. Open our minds and our hearts and our lives to the ever presence of Thy Holy Spirit and His direction. Cleanse us from sitting in the seat of judgment upon the world and upon our fellow man, but charge us, Lord, with Thy living word of truth. May Thy word be the living word of our lives. May our lives be the living expression of life eternal. May our endeavors here together be endeavors in a community of discovery. May Thy kind hand lead us through critical study and practical expression of the Christian way. For in all things, we would desire that the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouth would be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are many, many ways to minister, and I long ago appreciated the fact that there are those besides preachers, and there are messages besides the ones we deliver that reach the hearts of men. I'm so happy this morning that this son of my old housemate in Louisville has come to Southeastern, not only to learn to preach the word, but as you know now, to sing it also. I'm happy too to have with us this morning Dr. Roland Crowder of the Church Architecture Department of the Baptist Sunday School Board, and Brother Jack Bagwell, who has charge of the Church Architecture and the Planning Department of our North Carolina Baptist Convention work. These brethren are welcome. They will be here, and they are here to minister also in the ways that they know best how to do, and will be happy to see any student who would like to confer with them about matters in their field. Now, brethren, we come this morning to another one of the highlights, it seems to me, of our 10, going on 11 years of existence. It's what we call the signing of the articles. And almost every year we have brought in new members of the faculty, and in each case we have read the articles again, and one or more professors have assigned them as the bylaws of our institution require. I shall read these articles. They were originally written for Southern Seminary in 1859. They show some marks, of course, of 1859. The wording is different in places than it would be in 1961. But they have been a remarkably helpful, strong, and guiding set of ideas and principles and truths. We call them here the abstract of principles. One, concerning the scriptures. The scriptures of the Old and New Testament were given by inspiration of God and are the only sufficient, certain, and authoritative rule for all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Article 2 on God. There is but one God, the maker, preserver, and ruler of all things, having in and of himself all perfections, and being infinite in them all. And to him all creatures owe the highest love, reverence, and obedience. 3, the Trinity. God is revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. 4, concerning providence. God from all eternity decrees or permits all things that come to pass, and perpetually upholds, directs, and governs all creatures and all events, yet so as not in any wise to be the author or approver of sin, nor to destroy the free will and responsibility of intelligent creatures. 5, concerning election. Election is God's eternal choice of some persons unto everlasting life, not because of foreseen merit in them, but of his mere mercy in Christ, in consequence of which choice they are called, justified, and glorified. God originally created man in his own image and free from sin. I beg your pardon, this is Article 6, the fall of man. God originally created man in his own image and free from sin. But through the temptation of Satan, he transgressed the command of God and fell from his original holiness and righteousness, whereby his posterity inherit a nature corrupt and wholly opposed to God and his law, are under condemnation, and as soon as they are capable of moral action, become actual transgressors. 7, the Mediator. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, is the divinely appointed mediator between God and man. Having taken upon himself human nature, yet without sin, he perfectly fulfilled the law, suffered and died upon the cross for the salvation of sinners. He was buried and rose again the third day and ascended to his Father, at whose right hand he ever liveth to make intercession for his people. He is the only mediator, the prophet, priest, and king of the church, and sovereign of the universe. 8, concerning regeneration. Regeneration is a change of heart wrought by the Holy Spirit, who quickeneth the dead in trespasses and sins, enlightening their minds spiritually and savingly to understand the word of God, and renewing their whole nature so that they love and practice holiness. It is a work of God's free and special grace alone. 9, repentance. Repentance is an evangelical grace wherein a person being, by the Holy Spirit, made sensible of the manifold evil of his sins, humbleth himself for it with godly sorrow, detestation of it, and self-abhorrence, with a purpose and endeavor to walk before God so as to please him in all things. Concerning faith. Saving faith is the belief on God's authority of whatsoever is revealed in his word concerning Christ, accepting and resting upon him alone for justification and eternal life. It is wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit and is accompanied by all other saving graces and leads to a life of holiness. 11, justification. Justification is God's gracious and full acquittal of sinners who believe in Christ, from all sin through the satisfaction that Christ has made, not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but on account of the obedience and satisfaction of Christ, they receiving and resting on him and his righteousness by faith. Those who have been this is number 12, sanctification. Those who have been regenerated are also sanctified by God's word and God's Spirit dwelling in them. This sanctification is progressive through the supply of divine strength, which all saints seek to obtain, pressing after a heavenly life in cordial obedience to all Christ's commands. 13, the perseverance of the saints. Those whom God hath accepted in the Beloved and sanctified by his Spirit will never totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere to the end. And though they may fall through neglect and temptation into sin, whereby they grieve the Spirit, impair their graces and comforts, bring reproach on the church, and temporal judgments on themselves, yet they shall be renewed again unto repentance, and be kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. 14, the church. The Lord Jesus is the head of the church, which is composed of all his true disciples, and in him is invested supremely all power for its government. According to his commandment, Christians are to associate themselves into particular societies or churches. And to each of these churches he hath given needful authority for administering that order, discipline, and worship which he hath appointed. The regular officers of a church are bishops or elders and deacons. 15, baptism. Baptism is an ordinance of the Lord Jesus, obligatory upon every believer, wherein he is immersed in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as a sign of his fellowship with the death and resurrection of Christ, of remission of sins, and of his giving himself up to God to live and walk in newness of life. It is prerequisite to church fellowship and to participation in the Lord's Supper. 16, the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance of Jesus Christ to be administered with the elements of bread and wine and to be observed by his churches till the end of the world. It is in no sense a sacrifice, but is designed to commemorate his death, to confirm the faith and other graces of Christians, and to be a bond, pledge, and renewal of their communion with him and, and of their church fellowship. 17, the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a Christian institution for regular observance and should be employed in exercises of worship and spiritual devotion, both public and private. Resting from worldly employments and amusements, works of necessity and mercy only accepted. 18, liberty of conscience. God alone is Lord of the conscience, and he hath left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men, which are in anything contrary to his word, or not contained in it. Civil magistrates being ordained of God, subjection in all lawful things commanded by them ought to be yielded by us in the Lord, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. 19, the resurrection. The bodies of men after death return to dust, but their spirits return immediately to God, the righteous to rest with him, the wicked to be reserved under darkness to the judgment. At the last day, the bodies of all the dead, both just and unjust, will be raised. 20, the judgment. God hath appointed a day wherein he will judge the world by Jesus Christ, when every one shall receive according to his deeds. The wicked shall go into everlasting punishment, the righteous into everlasting life. These articles were adopted by the Board of Trustees of our seminary on December 7, 1950. And I think it would be right to comment here that they considered very carefully many articles of faith adopted by other bodies and that they agreed unanimously that this best represents the thought and life of the Baptist denomination, the Southern Baptist denomination, and of the members of the Board of Trustees themselves. Now, I did not count again. I believe it's 27 who have signed these articles previously, Dr. Lansdell being the last up until this morning. This morning we have the happy privilege of witnessing the signatures of Drs. Oliver and Owens and Rogers and Shriver. And they will sign this time in alphabetical order. It's difficult to do it any other way. So if Dr. Oliver will come forward, I'll try to get this. This is the original pen, brethren, and sometimes it gets a bit stubborn in its old age. Thy blessings, Heavenly Father, upon us as we stand meditatively, as we leave for the activities of the day, as we think concerning thy purpose and our call for now and for the future. Again we ask that we may be consecrated to thy will and useful according to thy purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.